Imagine a piece of autonomous code. It wasn't written by your engineers. It holds absolutely no security clearance, and its decision-making process is, well, fundamentally probabilistic. Yet, as we speak, it currently has read and write access to the configuration files of the UK's energy grid.
Yeah, it's a terrifying thought.
Right, and this isn't some, hypothetical zero-day scenario.
Yeah.
It is the new architectural reality of enterprise networks.
It really is. The paradigm has shifted entirely. I mean, we spent the last 2 decades building perimeter defenses based on human identity, right? You
Certainly.
verify the cleared personnel, you monitor their endpoints, you log their access. But the entity operating in this inside that perimeter right now is increasingly non-human.
Yeah.
And it's generating its own execution steps in real time.
Which completely changes the threat matrix for anyone managing critical national
Oh,
infrastructure.
absolutely.
And as you sit there listening to this as a senior cybersecurity leader protecting UK government networks or, CNI, that shift requires an immediate reassessment of your operational
It's too
security.
urgent.
And that is our mission for this deep dive. We are analyzing the critical pivot from AI as just a passive conversational tool to AI as an autonomous actor operating directly within sensitive environments.
Right.
And our source material today is the UK AI intelligence briefing dated June 22, 2026.
Which is a document that entirely bypasses the usual consumer-grade
Oh,
discussions.
thank goodness, right. We're setting some strict ground rules today. Zero benchmark hype.
Yes, please.
We aren't discussing which model scored, 3 points higher on some standardized coding test, and we are ignoring consumer gadget announcements entirely.
Good, because that's not what matters here.
Exactly. Our focus is strictly on substance, the underlying mechanisms of these capabilities, and the direct impact on your security posture. So, okay, let's unpack this, starting with a major intelligence item from the briefing regarding Samsung Electronics.
Right, the Samsung rollout.
Yeah, they have officially moved to fully deploy ChatGPT Enterprise and Codex across their internal global operations.
And what's fascinating here is that this is a critical bellwether. We are officially past the experimental sandbox phase.
Right.
When a manufacturer of Samsung scale embeds frontier models directly into its core internal workflows, it forces a massive systemic shift across the whole industry.
Yeah.
They are actively feeding proprietary code bases, strategic logistics, and internal communications into these models to drive efficiency.
But I mean, let me play devil's advocate for a second. To a casual observer, this might just look like a standard enterprise software rollout,
Yeah.
right? Like migrating to a new cloud provider.
Sure, it looks like that on the surface.
So is this really a turning point or just another corporate tech update? It feels a bit like handing a highly intelligent but incredibly naive contractor access to your entire corporate server.
That's actually a great analogy because the implications are completely different from a normal software update.
Yes.
If a massive global corporation is officially validating this level of integration, the cascading effect is already hitting the environments you manage.
Oh, for sure.
If Samsung is doing it officially, your cleared personnel managing SCADA systems or, analyzing government telemetry, they are absolutely doing it unofficially.
Because the productivity multiplier is just too high to ignore.
Exactly. I mean, if you're an engineer under a deadline, you're going to use the fastest tool available,
Yeah.
which introduces the immediate telemetry risk detailed in the briefing, which is shadow AI.
Shadow AI.
Right. And this isn't just an employee using an unapproved PDF converter, right? This is a maintenance engineer on a nuclear site writing a Python script to parse highly sensitive vibration logs from an industrial control system.
Oh, wow.
And to debug that script, they paste the code and potentially a sample of the raw log data into an unauthorized LLM instance.
Which means the blueprints of your network are being knowingly exported by an employee who's just trying to do their job 20% faster.
Precisely.
They are feeding classified infrastructure data into commercial interfaces, where it's captured in third-party server logs, or even worse, absorbed into external training sets.
Yeah, it's convenience functioning as a critical vulnerability.
Absolutely.
And we really have to look at the mechanism of that vulnerability. When a government contractor relies on shadow AI, the data exfiltration happens over standard encrypted web
Right,
traffic.
it's just HTTPS.
Exactly. It looks like normal HTTPS activity to your firewall. So unless you have highly specific endpoint monitoring designed to catch the unique traffic signatures of these API calls, this data hemorrhage is entirely invisible to your security operations center.
Invisible. That is terrifying.
Yeah.
But, the briefing makes it clear that human employees misusing AI as a tool is just the baseline risk.
A tip of the iceberg, really.
Right. The architectural evolution we are dealing with now is the removal of the human from the loop entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Because we hit a bottleneck with chat interfaces. Users got tired of copying code from a chat window and pasting it into a terminal.
It's tedious.
Yeah. So developers started writing wrapper scripts to let the model execute the code directly. And that bridges us into the era of agentic workflows.
The transition from synthesizer to actor.
Yes.
An agent doesn't just evaluate a server state and generate a report for a human administrator to read.
Right.
It evaluates the server state, decides a load balancing configuration needs to be modified, and executes the modification autonomously based on an overarching parameter set.
So what does this all mean specifically regarding UK and EU AI governance? Because when you look at the current frameworks coming out of the Department for Science, Innovation, and Technology, or the mandates in the EU AI Act, they seem obsessively focused on the output layer.
They absolutely are.
The regulatory apparatus is entirely consumed by mitigating deepfakes, auditing training data transparency, policing biased text generation.
Because they are attempting to regulate an information synthesizer and not an autonomous operator.
Right.
Evaluating an agent's execution layer is a fundamentally different discipline from red teaming a chatbot for toxic outputs.
Totally different.
Policymakers are looking at model weights and guardrails, but when an AI is integrated into an enterprise network as a non-human actor, or NHA, the text it generates is kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, who cares what it says?
Exactly. The only thing that matters is what the model is physically authenticated to do.
The blast radius of its permissions.
Yes.
If an NHA is sitting on a classified subnet with broad permissions to optimize routing tables, it becomes the ultimate vector.
Oh, without a doubt.
An adversary doesn't need to burn a zero-day exploit to breach your firewall if they can simply compromise an agent that already holds system-level access inside the perimeter.
The agent itself becomes a fully authenticated vehicle for lateral movement.
Right.
The adversary manipulates the agent's logic, and the agent uses its own legitimate credentials to traverse the network, query sensitive databases, or alter industrial control parameters.
And here is the operational reality for a CNI leader listening to this. Policy will always lag behind technology. You cannot wait for the UK AI Safety Institute to finalize a comprehensive regulatory framework for agentic execution layers. You need technical infrastructure to manage these non-human actors right now.
We need it yesterday, honestly.
Yeah. And that brings us to the briefing's analysis of ephemeral infrastructure, specifically the introduction of temporary Cloudflare accounts designed exclusively for AI agents.
The requirement for this new infrastructure stems directly from the nature of the actor holding the credential.
Right, but let me push back here. Why do we need entirely new infrastructure for this? Don't we already have API keys that developers use every single day?
We do, but traditional long-lived API keys are a non-starter here.
Why is that?
You hard code a static token for a deterministic application because you know exactly how that application will behave, right?
Right, it just does what it's coded to do.
Exactly. But an LLM is probabilistic. Giving a probabilistic model a static token with write access to a critical database is operational malpractice.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If the agent hallucinates a destructive command, or if it's compromised, it holds those keys indefinitely.
Because it's an open-ended token.
Exactly. That permanent access is the vulnerability. So the technical mitigation the briefing outlines is a shift to strictly ephemeral credentials. We are talking about time-bound, zero trust requests.
Okay, let's break down exactly how that works in a CNI context.
Oh.
How do you technically scope a temporary token for something like, say, an industrial control system?
Well, the mechanism operates at the identity provider level.
Okay.
When the non-human actor needs to interact with a specific microservice, say, reading the temperature telemetry from a cooling system, it doesn't possess a permanent password.
Right.
Instead, it hits the identity provider and requests a JSON web token. Or JWT.
Hmm.
This token is cryptographically signed, restricted exclusively to the cooling system's API endpoint, and it carries a hard-coded time to live of, for example, 300 seconds.
Meaning the credential simply ceases to exist after 5 minutes.
Correct. It just evaporates. The concept of containment is paramount when you are operating critical infrastructure. You have to design the architecture assuming that compromise is inevitable.
Because it is.
Exactly. By enforcing ephemeral credentials, if the NHA session is hijacked by an adversary, the damage is strictly contained.
Right.
The blast radius is reduced from the attacker has persistent, read-write access to the entire SCADA network to, the attacker can only read temperature data for the remaining 2 minutes of the token's lifespan.
Which is huge. Limiting the time and scope is obviously a vital structural defense.
Yeah.
But it doesn't solve the core vulnerability that exists during that five-minute window.
No, it doesn't.
Even with a highly scoped token, if an attacker can hijack the agent's logic while the credential is active, they can still execute malicious actions within that specific domain.
Absolutely.
And that introduces the primary security concern detailed in the briefing, prompt injection.
Right. And prompt injection in an agentic environment is vastly more sophisticated than tricking a consumer chatbot into saying something inappropriate.
Oh, yeah.
We are talking about adversarial payloads hidden within the very data the agent is designed to process.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because think about what that looks like in practice on a government network.
Mm-hmm.
An advanced persistent threat, an APT, drops an obfuscated string of text into a routine system log. A non-human actor is scheduled to parse that log for anomalies.
Right.
The moment the agent reads the log, it processes the adversarial string, not as data, but as an overriding executable instruction.
It's like a bank teller processing a transaction for a customer, but the customer slips them a note that overrides their basic training.
Yes. The agent's logic is hijacked.
The malicious payload instructs the agent to ignore its previous alignment, take the ephemeral credential it currently holds, and exfiltrate the data it just queried to an external server.
Which brings us to where the architecture has to evolve, and where the briefing introduces a critical technical standard, the Model Context Protocol, or MCP.
MCP is brilliant.
I look at ACT kind of like air gapping at the logic layer. If we use a sensitive compartmented information facility, a SCIF as an analogy, the AI agent is an analyst sitting inside the SCIF. They can request sensitive intelligence documents to read, but they are physically prevented from leaving the room with them.
That SCIF analogy captures the core principle of isolation perfectly.
Yeah.
Because historically, developers were passing authentication credentials directly into the LLM's context window.
Which is a terrible idea.
Awful. The system prompt would essentially say, you are a database assistant, here is the user's query, and here is the API key you need to execute it.
Which is catastrophic, because if the agent parses a prompt injection payload, the attacker can simply instruct the model to print its own system prompt, thereby revealing the API key.
Exactly. The credential is in the working memory of the model, meaning a logic hijack equals credential theft.
Wow.
The Model Context Protocol fundamentally restructures this by separating the authentication flow entirely from the LLM.
Let's do a deep dive into the actual mechanism of MCP.
Yeah.
How does the agent accomplish its task if it literally never sees the API key?
Well, it operates on a strict client-server model.
Okay.
You have the LLM and you have an external API gateway that sits completely outside the model's environment.
Right.
When the AI determines that it needs to query a sensitive internal database, it does not execute the SQL command itself. Instead, it formulates the intent to query.
It essentially signals, I need the load balancing data for turbine number 4.
Yes. And it formats that intent as a structured JSON RPC call.
Hmm.
It sends the structured request to the external gateway. And the LLM's job ends there.
That's it.
That's it. The external gateway receives the JSON request and validates the schema. Crucially, the gateway is the entity that actually holds the execution credentials.
So the gateway injects the secret key.
Exactly. The gateway injects the ephemeral token into the authorization header, translates the LLM's intent into a secure API call, and executes it against the database. The database returns the raw payload to the gateway. Then the gateway strips away all authorization headers, network routing data, and metadata, handing only the requested result string back into the LLM's context window.
So the LLM gets the answer, but it never possesses the means to ask the question autonomously.
You got it.
The security implication for CNI is massive. It means that even if an APT executes a flawless prompt injection attack, even if they embed a payload in a system log that completely subverts the LLM's logic, the attacker cannot escalate privileges.
Right.
They cannot move laterally across the network.
Yeah.
Because the model literally does not possess the credentials to do so.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture,
yeah.
You are creating a structural defense rather than relying on a behavioral filter.
Right. You're not just hoping the model behaves.
Exactly. You aren't constantly tuning the model's weights and begging it not to share its API keys. You are mathematically removing the keys from its operational environment.
Yeah.
The logic of the AI and the security of the infrastructure remain completely distinct air-gapped layers.
which represents a massive paradigm shift for cybersecurity leaders. We are pivoting away from trusting the inherent intelligence realignment of the frontier model, and instead placing our trust entirely in the rigid architecture surrounding the model.
Which is where our trust should be anyway.
Absolutely. So let's synthesize the critical takeaways from this intelligence briefing.
That's good.
The baseline reality is that the experimental phase of AI is over. Major global enterprises are weaving frontier models into their core operations, which means shadow AI on classified subnets and CNI networks is an active, ongoing vulnerability.
Right. Employees will bypass slow procedures for fast results, leading to invisible data exfiltration.
Furthermore, as these systems transition from text-generating chatbots to autonomous agentic workflows, the regulatory focus on output filtering is, frankly, largely obsolete for your operational needs.
Completely obsolete.
Governance must pivot to the execution layer. The actionable mandate for you, listening right now, is to initiate an immediate audit of your environment.
Yeah, today.
Your teams must identify where non-human actors currently possess broad, long-lived permissions. Those legacy access models must be aggressively transitioned to scoped ephemeral credentials, utilizing isolation architectures, like the model context protocol.
Establishing that execution layer governance is absolutely paramount.
Yeah.
However, as you review the architecture of your own networks, there is a secondary implication to this evolution.
Okay, what's that?
We are currently pouring immense engineering resources into building perfectly isolated gateways, right?
Right.
We are designing highly scoped ephemeral credentials and deploying protocols like MCP specifically to thwart malicious actors. We are building containment systems to ensure that if an APT hijacks an agent via prompt injection, the blast radius is negligible.
Which is exactly what we just talked about.
Exactly. But consider the inverse scenario.
Okay.
What if the agent isn't hijacked at all? What if a perfectly aligned, fully authorized non-human actor operating with approved temporary credentials inside an industrial control system simply makes a cascading logical error? Because probabilistic models hallucinate.
They do.
Our isolation protocols are meticulously designed to stop unauthorized adversaries. They're not designed to stop an authorized worker from executing a catastrophic hallucinated mistake at machine speed.
A speed no human operator can intercept.
Exactly. So as we successfully engineer the solution to the security problem of malicious hijacking, we really must interrogate whether we are simultaneously engineering an entirely new safety crisis,
mm-hmm.
the perfectly authorized high-speed disaster.
That is a chilling thought.
Yeah.
It really forces us to ask if we are securing the perimeter while completely trusting a flawed entity inside it. Keep questioning the fundamental architecture of your networks and stay secure.